Learn so you don't burn. How many of you ever been burned by the devil? Even though you thought it was your friend, your in-laws, whatever it may be, the devil used them. So you got burned by the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, again, I can only share with you that we are in such an awesome time. And in this awesome time, the enemy lurks to get us out of position. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's our responsibility to stand. You know, again, that scripture constantly comes to me every single day. And all the places that I go, and then when we go to the jail and so forth, and when we're out on the streets feeding and sharing the word, and the same scripture keeps coming to me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack. In the body of Christ, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the word knowledge means truth. Now, it must be truth understood. Knowledge understood is actually called truth. There's a lot of people who read the Bible but don't understand it, so it can't be truth. And in this, that's why it's so important to get understanding, get wisdom. And again, everywhere I go, so many things, and I see so many people bound in one way or another. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And sometimes it's not that they don't have the knowledge or the truth, it's that they choose not to use it. They choose not to practice it. And what happens is the reason for that is because they begin to put themselves first. And when you begin to put yourself first, see, because you can't fight the devil in the flesh. You must get in the spirit to fight him. So that means that there's influence, isn't there? We've talked about the area where there's continuous fights around us. There's continuous conflicts. There's a continuous battle. And one of the things that we don't want it to do is constantly allow it to get in us. You know, there's certain battles that the Lord requires us to fight, and there's certain battles we're to turn over. And when you begin to fight multitude of battles that God's not calling you to battle, that becomes busybody. Hello. Then what it is you're trying to control certain things when you're supposed to be letting them go and only battling a certain battle that God is telling you to battle. And again, this comes into the area that we are lacking something. And it's majority of the time it's lacking the presence of God, or lacking the arena that we're not denying ourselves enough. Would you turn to Psalm 14? Psalm 14. How many of y'all learn by your trials? Don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all have gone through the same trial more than once? It's because we didn't learn the first time. Amen. Has God given up on you? No. But you'll keep going around that mountain until that cycle's broke. And the enemy will keep putting limitations on you until these things are broke. God always, see, you know, the word tells us the Lord's eyes, he tests the righteous. And he's not testing you to demote you. He's testing you to promote you. He's not testing you to demote you. He's testing you to promote you. And I'm not talking about promotion at job. I'm talking about promotion in the kingdom. Promotion in the kingdom. And Psalm 14, and if your desire isn't to be promoted in the kingdom, there's something not right with you. Hello? If you don't have a desire to get involved in ministry and get involved in the kingdom of God and get promoted, then there's something ain't right with you. Hello? God didn't rescue you to just bless you. He didn't rescue you just to restore your family. He didn't rescue you so that you can build your own empire. He rescued you for a purpose, to fulfill a position in the body of Christ. If you don't have that desire, there is something wrong with you. Hello? Well, I just want to get on with my life. You don't have a life. Did you forget that? You don't have a life. You're not the one that's supposed to make choices in your life. He is. Come on, are you listening? There are a lot of people that say they know God. I know God. He knows me. Yes, he does. But there are a lot of people who say they know God but don't follow him. There's a lot of people that they say know God but don't submit to him. Then they don't know him. And God calls him a fool. Psalm 14, verse 1. Is everybody with me? It says the what? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Now understand this again. This is not about an individual that is an atheist. This is an individual that believes that there is a God, but he says, but see, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This no God thing is about an individual that isn't submitting to God. Because what he's actually saying, or she's saying, or whomever, is there is no God, because I'm not going to submit to you. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he'll establish your steps. That doesn't mean you go, oh God, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to have this, or I'd like to get, and then go do it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity know what? Knowledge. No understanding. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Who eat up my people. Eat up my what? See, God is saying, they eat up my people. My own people eat my own people. Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord. There they are in great fear. For God is with the generation of the what? He's with the generation of the what? Righteous. What about the unrighteous? No. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Again, a fool says that there's no God. Not that you don't believe that there's a God, but they don't follow, obey, or don't practice righteousness or submit, but they practice self-righteousness. They practice what? Self-righteousness. So they put themselves first, and they justify that they know God. A fool is fooled by deception. I'm going to say that again. A fool is fooled by deception. Come on, say it with me. A fool is fooled by deception. Now, this deception, a fool is fooled by deception, and it causes the individual to make a choice that leads to guilt, shame, and regret. It causes an individual, because of the deception, because that person is fooled. A fool is one that's not submitting to God. So if he's not submitting to God, it means he's being fooled by deception. So the individual is making a choice that is going to lead to guilt, shame, and regret. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5. Oh, we've read this many times. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, likewise, you what? Younger people, submit yourselves to your what? Elders. Elders are those who are more mature. Yes, all of you be what? Submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. Clothed with what? Humility. That's called humbleness. Why? Because he says what? For God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the opposite of pride is humble, and the opposite of humble is to be pride or be proudful. So he says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This grace is associated with favor. It's associated with what? Favor. It's also called God's plan. In verse 6, let's read this together. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Stop. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So what you're doing, you're submitting to what God's hand is doing. You're humbling yourself. Now you're also covered. You're covered. You're what? You're covered by the hand of God. Now, if you're covered by the hand of God, are you protected? Hello? So would you rather be covered by your own hand or the hand of God? That's why the Lord killed an animal for Adam and Eve. Because they covered themselves with their own fig leaves. And it wasn't going to work. He said, let me cover you. Hello. Now, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he what? May exalt you when? And in other words, that he may promote you, that he may show you favor. If you stay under the hand of God and keep yourself humble, that he may promote you and grant you favor in his due time. Casting what? All your care upon him, for he what? For he cares for you. Again, to be humble is submission to the ways of God. Then favor or grace is released. But to be proudful, is that a definition to be proudful? It means to reject the ways of God, and the favor and grace is held back until repentance. So many times we get into circumstances and there's trials and tribulations and so many times, or there's something that we must make a choice on, and the Lord is saying, cast your care upon me. Cast it upon me. Cast your care. You know, there's too many times when we answer our own prayers. You know, he says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. That's why he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in a faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In the world. So instead of casting the cares and get counsel, correction, or direction, they attempt to fix it themselves. They attempt to fix it themselves. In other words, they are making a wrong choice. And it will bring guilt, shame, and regret. Has everybody got it? It brings what? Guilt, shame, and regret. James 4. So when there is the area, the reason why the Bible says that God resists the proud is because pride is associated with the presence of evil. And he resists the presence of evil. In fact, again, the word sin means the presence of evil. So when sin is lurking, the presence of evil is there. Even the word says the love of money is the root of what? All evil, isn't it? So all evil is there. So when an individual is associating with pride and making their own decisions without acknowledgement or confirmations, many people pray to God and don't get a confirmation and they just go do whatever they want to do. And they may have a sense, you know, how many of y'all know the devil will bless you too? You know how he blesses you? He pulls his demons off. He says, let that person prosper. Why? Because I've got her or him. Now their first love is not to be promoted in the kingdom. It's to build her own empire. See, we've got to begin to discern, acknowledge, and be sensitive to these things. Okay, now, he says here, where do wars and fights come from among you? Verse 1, James 4. Do they not come from your desires for what? For pleasure that war in your what? Your members. Where do they war? And your members. So your members associated with the self, the offspring of darkness, is trying to give you a desire that's going to override a desire from Christ. It's trying to override a desire from Christ. And those desires, let me share this with you, that the desires begin to get more promoted because the lack of presence of God. Because the more that the presence of God is with you, the more you have dominion over those desires. So when you start struggling with certain desires, the devil pushes, the spirit leads. When you sense that you're anxious and you got to do whatever, you're going to miss. Let me tell you, that ain't God. That's a push of the enemy. So do you get entangled? How many of y'all know the devil loves to put us in debt? He loves to put you in debt. Why? Then you spend more time serving money to pay off the debt and not serving God. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 2, it says, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures, your desires. What desires? The desires that are warring in your members. Why? Because the lack of the presence of God. And now the presence of evil is enticing more of that desire to do the will of self. He says, adulterers and adulteresses. Now you may go, what is that? He's not talking about sex. He's talking about that we have placed another God before us, before him, or before us. We have placed something before us. And even though we say God is first, he really isn't. We've placed our job, our families, ourselves, whatever it might be, before us. Our desires before him. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why? Because that's how the world lives, not those of the kingdom. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. I said more grace, more favor, more plan. Therefore he says God resists the what? Proud. Why? Because the pride, the proudful are now associated with the presence of evil. And they are associated with the world. And God rejects them. But he gives more grace or favor to the humble. So just because, listen, I see individuals in jail many times. They get released. They get released. They get favor. They get favor, but it isn't from God. And what they do is they go out and they do whatever, and then they come back. And the ones that are seeking the Lord are fighting. And there is much resistance of the devil there. And they're constantly fighting. And they're going to court, and there's delays, and there's delays, and all kinds of things are happening because there's a fight. But I see many guys in the jail who just all of a sudden get favor and get released. But you know what? They usually come back because they're going out to live their life. And by living their life, they're friends of the world. And the enemy uses them. And he'll use them up until they die. And then he goes and uses someone else. Again, it's a wonderful thing to share the love of Christ. But it's a terrible thing to die with a full stomach and go to hell. And there are many who are out there doing it. They're dying. They're going to hell because they're rejecting the hand of God. But I'm telling you, there's a mighty move of God going on right now. And his compassion and mercies are awesome. And one thing we don't want to do, the Bible says, grab hold of God and he'll grab hold of you. Let go of God and he'll let go of you. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts man. See, the problem is we don't realize that right away being a believer. Because God's grace extends a little bit further, further, and further. And then he says, okay, that's enough. Also, boom. And we find ourselves right back where we started from and going, man, I don't get it. I thought you were blessing me, Lord. I thought you were with me. I mean, you didn't say anything about it. He says, you know better. You know better. What happened to your desire to be promoted in my kingdom, in my body? What happened to your desire to serve me? What happened to that desire? Now you want to serve you. I reject the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 7, therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? Flee from you. So, when we don't submit to God and be humble, it is called pride. And the Bible says pride goes before a fall. In other words, a fall is a bad choice, the wrong choice. People think that the fall, man, they're going out using drugs, they're going to go out and do this. And da, 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 da. No, a fall is the wrong choice. Pride is a friend of the world. So if we're walking in pride, we become a friend of the world and an enemy of God. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. What's it say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what? Pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? Of the world. And the world is what? Passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. So he who's doing the will of God, is that person submitting? So is that person walking in a pride state or a humble state? Humble state. So does he have favor? Amen. Is the grace of God being released to them? Yes. Is God rejecting them? No. No. Remember, God doesn't reject the person. He rejects what they're doing. So the pride of life of the world is passing away. Only those that are humble and submissive, doing the will of God, will abide forever. Again, it goes back to people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or submission. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. I'll tell you the title in a minute. Psalm 16 and verse 7 and 8. Is everybody okay? Again, the purpose of this is so that we can discern, be sensitive. In verse 7, would you read it with me? I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the what? Night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be what? Moved. Now that means I won't make the wrong choice. I won't be moved. I won't make the wrong choice. It doesn't mean that we won't make a mistake. But we won't make the wrong choice and let it follow all the way through. So David kept the Lord before him. That is to know and acknowledge the Lord in every decision. If God is truly before you and the presence of God is there, no matter what you do, there's always a sense, Lord, is this approval to you? Do you understand it? If truly the presence of God is with you, then there's a, is this approval to you? That thought will always come to you. Is this approving to you? Do you understand it? It's always there. He's always there. He's always saying, that question should always be there. Lord, is this approving to you? If it's not there, then there's another presence there. Hello. Because then the Lord's not before you. Someone else is or something else is. Every time when the Lord is before you, there's always that question. Is this approving to you, Lord? Is this decision? Is it how am I am I reacting or am I responding? Is this right? Lord, I really need to know. I really need to know. Why? Because I want your presence with me all the time. Even when I'm an idiot. I want your presence with me. What did David say? Man, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please. Why? Because one thing we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit. He'll back off. And believe me, a familiar spirit would step right in and give you the same goosebumps as the Holy Spirit. You'll have that same false peace also, except for it goes away. And you're always trying to fulfill it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen, serving the kingdom of God is more than tithe and offering. Hello. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's read this together. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent, who's the serpent? The devil, Satan, deceived Eve. By what? His craftiness. So that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which we have not received, or a different gospel, which we have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, don't get into argument with it. Turn. Turn from it. Does everybody got it? Turn from it. There's no sense in arguing because somebody else is preaching a different Jesus. Somebody else is preaching listen, there are people that show up with this Bible and preach another Jesus. There are people that show up with this Bible and preach another gospel. I've seen it, I've sat in them, and I've left them. Because it was not backed by the anointing, it was backed by the intellect of an individual that promoted himself. And it was disgusting. It did nothing but promote self. Had nothing about, there was a false exaltation of God, but the Spirit wasn't there. It was religious. Now again, the serpent deceived Eve. He will deceive you and me. He talked about another Jesus. He talked about a different spirit. He talked about a different gospel. Listen, my Jesus still heals, delivers, casts out devils. He raises the dead. He gives new life. Are you listening? My Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. My Jesus is my Father, and he desires a relationship with me. He's not looking at what I can do for him. He's looking at whether I'm going to submit to him and follow him. So in this, we're to put up with it. That is to turn away without argument. See ya. Don't get caught up in the garbage. Don't try to prove yourself. That's going to come across your path all the time. 2 Peter chapter 2. The serpent is going to attempt to deceive you because he's trying to get you to make the wrong choice. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness. Man, I've heard that plenty of times. Whoa, thus says the Lord. I'm not going there. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, the people already knew the truth. Now they've gotten back caught up in it. Caught up in the deception. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Did you ever hear of a preacher or somebody's preaching and teaching, yet they're in fornication and all kinds of stuff themselves? Nice. What happened? Lost the fear of God. They are more interested in the work instead of the relationship. Then they tried to cover themselves by their works. We're going to go to that in a second. Hallelujah. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him also is brought into what? Into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Wow. The word dog means demonized individual. So the devil brings us into his bondage by deception to commit the sin of pride. By making an incorrect choice and into bondage of guilt. Is everybody with me? Into the bondage of what? Guilt. Now I want to share with you something very important. Because what it does is it puts us in a place of guilt of yesterday, of the past, things that we've done. The guilt of the past. There's three areas that he begins to attack us now on. So it's the guilt of the past or the guilt of yesterday. That's the name of the teaching, guilt of yesterday. In other words, guilt and shame of yesterday, things that we did of wrong choices. The oppression and heaviness of the present. And the fear of the future. Because when a person gets caught up in this arena, when guilt begins to hinder a person, they're always going, oh, the guilt. I can't believe what I did. And then they get an oppression. And heaviness comes on them in the present because of the guilt of the yesterday or the guilt of the past. Now they're in oppression. Oh, they're depressed. Oh, man, heaviness is with them. And what it does is the enemy begins to hold them down so they won't turn and get back in line. And then there's the fear of the future. In other words, oh, my God, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to work this out? Because they're thinking now of the future. So there's the guilt of yesterday, the guilt of the past, the oppression of the present, and the fear of the future. These are all emotional attachments that must be severed. Guilt, oppression, and fear are emotional attachments. Is God looking at your past when you blow it? No. Of course, we truly try to avoid it. Amen? We want to avoid it so there's something less we have to fight with. So we should be sensitive to the tactics of the enemy trying to get us into this arena. But you know, when we blow and we make wrong choices, the guilt, you know how many times people have blown it? Okay, let's just say they blow it. They're in fellowship, they blow it, then they don't return. Because guilt, oppression, and fear of the future. So they're afraid what people are going to think about them. If I return, what are they going to think of me? How about hallelujah, you came. But the devil ain't going to tell you they're going to rejoice. Amen. They're going to hit the devil's going to tell you, oh man, they're going to crucify you. They're going to stare at you, man, and guilt's going to, shame is going to just ooze out of you. And you're going to be so oppressed. Because he's a liar. Again, the best thing to do is avoid the wrong decision. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to make a wrong decision. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make a mistake. But when we do that, get out quickly. Turn around. Don't let guilt of yesterday bring oppression on you today and fear for the future. It's our responsibility to sever those things. That's our responsibility. These are all emotional attachments, and they must be severed, and those emotional attachment spirits must leave. Go to Acts chapter 10, the guilt of yesterday. Woo-hoo. You know, that's why we needed to get born again, right? Acts chapter 10. Verse 36. Verse 36, let's read this together. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38, how what? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit. How he what? anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, how he anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, how he anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, how he anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And with what? And with what? And with what? Power for what? Put up curtains? Hello? Change a flat tire? Well, you might need it sometimes. I don't know. No, to say no to temptation and discern the strategies of the devil. And to say yes to God. So Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit with power and went about doing what? Good. So he didn't do evil, did he? Why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And healing all who were what? Oppressed by who? The neighbor? The spouse? Your boss? Your pastor? No, oppressed by who? The devil. For God was with him. Do you understand that? So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power to help rescue those who've been oppressed. How did he get oppressed? Because of the mistakes they made in what? The past, which brought guilt and brought them into what? Oppression and bondage and promoted what? Fear. They were oppressed. Do you know that when a person gets in that state, their body begins to change? They become sick. It opens the door to the enemy to access also. Because where there's emotional attachments, the devil has access to you. The Holy Spirit was anointed with Jesus to destroy the oppression of the devil. Romans 8. You know, it's funny to me because sometimes I'll get around some people that love Jesus. But they ain't got no truth. They don't have no truth. So the devil starts bothering them. They call him all slewfoot or whatever. And they call the devil all kinds of names. And nothing's happening. I'm like, I've seen it happen, and it just cracks me up. You know, some of the sweet people. And some of them have come from the old rugged cross. And they're just, oh man, that devil, that slew foot, you get out of here and this, that. They didn't use the name of Jesus, they didn't use nothing. Man, he just attacked me 24/7 and I just giggle. Man, why don't you do something about it? How about pull the sword of spirit out? Man, I just keep calling the pastor. I'll just call my neighbor. Yeah, that's right. I run to the phone. Heck with the throne. No weapons. Why? People destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Do you know the devil, if he can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with you eat. His purpose is to kill you so you cannot fulfill the will of God. I've seen many people go home before their time, sweet men and women of God, because they got involved in the earth. Well, God blesses all the food. Here comes Porky. Yes, I'm just going to eat up until I bust. Hello. If the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with what you eat. You cannot live on Twinkies. You become a Twinkie. And when they bury you, you'll be so preserved. The man, they'll go dig you up 20 years later, you'll still be the same. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Romans 8. Is everybody there? Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Too many people stop right there. Oh, I can do anything. There's no condemnation in Jesus. Are you kidding me? Did you read it? Did you finish it? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So if you're walking according to the flesh, is there condemnation? Okay, if you're walking according to the flesh, what presence are you serving? Evil. Okay, so if there's serving of the presence of evil, is pride in that presence? So is God rejecting the proud? So are you getting grace? No. He's holding it back until you repent and turn and go into the presence of God and come out of the presence of evil. Ooh. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you die associated in the flesh, you are judged by the law. Can anyone uphold the law? No. And he says, if you broke the least of these, you've broken them all. Does everybody got it? So we are not under the law. We are in the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. So if we are being led by the Spirit and we're in the Spirit and not by the flesh is crucified. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Now, so living according to the Spirit is submission, not premonition. I want to say that again. Too many people live by premonition and not submission. Oh man, God, show me this, but they didn't submit. I'm going to say this again. Living in the Spirit is submission, not premonition. It is obedience, not rebellion. It is faith, not assumption. It's God's time, not your time. Do I need to repeat this? Love to. Living according to the Spirit is submission, not premonition. It is obedience, not rebellion. It is faith, not assumption. Too many people think that, well, I'm walking by faith. Well, did God tell you? Well, I don't know. I'm just walking by faith. That's not faith. Faith is not blind. That's assumption. Living according to the Spirit is God's time, not man's time. The guilt of yesterday or of the past causes an individual to solve it. An individual, when they're in the flesh, it causes them to try and solve it by making up with time, with money, or works, instead of submission. See, they try to resolve their own guilt. Come on, grab hold of this. Because this is a ploy of the enemy. He tries, in other words, when we've done things, whatever, and we've gone to the Lord, we say, Lord, forgive me. You know what? He forgave you. He forgave you. It's done and over with. The thing is, the enemy's still attacking you with guilt because you haven't severed the emotional attachment of the thing you did. How you reacted. Did you ever react instead of respond? Don't raise your hand. You reacted according to the flesh instead of responding towards the Spirit. Well, that's called pride too. Why? Because you were influenced by the presence of evil. And in this then, what happens is when we repent and the Lord forgives us, the enemy's still attacking us on that guilt. So what we're trying to do is resolve the guilt ourselves by works. Oh, man, money. I mean, I don't mind some of it. But in this, we've got to be careful that we're not trying to pay the price that he's already paid. Has everybody got it? He paid it all. You don't have to let guilt constantly keep you in a state of oppression in the present and fear of the future. He has paid the price for you. Whatever you've done, if you've repented for it, it's over. But you must sever those emotional attachments to those things so that guilt cannot hold you and put limitations on you. Again, why? Because guilt is the presence of evil. Guilt is the presence of evil. In Romans 6,
but you don't know what I've done.
Thank God. If you repented, either does Jesus. The only one that still holds it is the devil. And the devil can only attack you on your past. In Romans 6, verse 17. Is everybody there? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for what? Holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin or the presence of evil, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you're presenting your members, you're casting your cares also. You're departing from evil presence of guilt, oppression, and fear. You're severing yourself from these things. Amen? Go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor and ask him if he's awake. Slap your other neighbor and tell them this is for you. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Ezekiel 18 and verse 19. Let's read this, please. Yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die, and the Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if the wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed and keeps my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. none of the transgressions which he has committed shall be what? Remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and what? And live. Turn from his ways. Turning from an individual's ways, the wicked ways, is called repentance. It's called what? Repentance. Go to Philippians 3. The guilt of yesterday can stay in yesterday. Hello. You know, when you've blown it and made a mistake, there's a difference between breaking covenant and doing something stupid. Because there's sin unto death and sin not unto death. But the wrong choice is the wrong choice. One of the things, if you truly have a relationship with the Lord and you made the wrong choice, you're not going to just, well, you know, God knows. No. You're going to have a sense of sorrow in your spirit if there really is a relationship. Why? Because you're like, man, I don't want to offend you. I want to be, you know, I want to be perfect. We have a sense of wanting to do the right thing. Does everybody got that? But we're perfect in Christ, but in our own state, we're not. We're going to make mistakes while we're here. But we can't allow the mistake to bring us into bondage. We must turn from it quickly, repent, and get washed. Washed with the blood, filled with his love, and go on. In Philippians 3, in verse 8, it says, yet indeed I also count all things what? Loss. For what? The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained, or am already what? Perfected. But I what? I press on. I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What's that word? Forgetting. You can't forget unless you repent. You can't forget unless you sever the emotional attachment. It will always hinder you. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So we go forward, forgetting those things of guilt, oppression, and fear. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We call it grow for it. Second Corinthians chapter 7. You know, it's amazing because the enemy loves to get us in that place of guilt. Then he isolates us so we don't get in the presence of God. He loves isolation. He'll eat you up when you're isolated. He'll get you busy with everything else but getting in God's presence. Now priorities and divine orders have crumbled until you get in God's presence again. And then conviction comes, repentance comes, and it's like, whoa, we need to get this right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Oh, yes, there is. And inside were what? Fears. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of what? Titus. In other words, fellowship. He got comforted with what? Fellowship. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces what? Repentance, leading to what? Salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces what? Death. Wow. So the sorrow of the world produces what? Death. But godly sorrow produces repentance. Repentance. You know, pride always tries to delay repentance. What it tries to promote is justification, reasoning, compromise. But, it's a but ministry. Acts chapter 3. And we'll close here. The guilt of yesterday. Acts 3:18. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Now that you got it, you want to utilize it and be sensitive and discern. Amen? And verse 18, let's read this together. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration to all things, of all things, which God has what? Spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Now we are grafted in that. We are now the seed of Abraham, the seed of Christ. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Does everybody got this? So Jesus came to rescue so that we can repent and get refreshed in the presence of God. Again, where there is guilt, there's the presence of evil. And in this, we must sever the emotional attachments with the areas of the things that we've done and command those emotional attachments to leave, these spirits to leave us. Repenting for the act, and commanding these spirits to go. So the oppression and the fear and the guilt would loose us. And that we can be refreshed, back restored in the presence of God with peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. The guilt of yesterday, again, can stay in yesterday. The choice is yours. Amen? Let's lift our hands to heaven and thank God. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We are honored and blessed. Honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that the seed that you've imparted in each and every one of us, this anointed seed of your word, would grow and bear fruit for your glory. That would bust out and bring light into every area of deception, where guilt, oppression, and fear have rooted in themselves in us. Lord, expose them, loose us from those emotional attachments, and let repentance take place that we may be refreshed in your presence and bring glory to the name above all names, Jesus the Christ. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed.